So there's a chromatogram, and you can see here's our response. Here's our time in minutes. So we inject. This is the injection spike coming through, so there's nothing retained at that point. Then after that, our first peak is coming off, and in this case here, it's just given some typical elution orders. So this will be our acetate ion coming off. This will be the hydroxide ion coming off. This would be the fluoride ion coming off. In this case, they're relating it to the density of charge that's present on it. So even though each one of these has got a minus charge, this guy here is a very tightly bound particle. And as a result, it's got a higher density of charge, so it carries a bigger hydration radius, so it's travelling more slowly. Same deal with the other ones, our chloride, our nitrate, and our nitrite, and our nitrate, our sulfate, and our sulfide. So the chromatogram is very much the same thing as before. We get a retention time, we get good peak separation, and we're able to integrate then underneath the area of this peak and figure out how many ppm, for instance, are present. Now, for anions, this is the method of choice for analysing natural water samples where we've got things like chloride, nitrate present. To do that, we make up the ion exchange resin in the carbonate form. Now, the nature, remember, of our anion exchange resin is that we have got alkyl ammonium sites on the resin with a positive charge. So we then, first of all, put carbonate through that resin to make sure that whatever anion is present is now removed and there's a carbonate sitting there. So we're just putting a large excess of carbonate in contact with the resin. Then we elute using sodium carbonate after we've put our sample on. We typically use gradient elution, which means that we vary the concentration of sodium carbonate. And then what will happen is our water sample, which we've put on, will then elute according to selectivity. So our sulfate then binding more strongly, our nitrate binding less strongly. Now the membrane ion suppressor is dealing with the fact that we're gradient eluting with an anion, carbonate. So what you would expect to find at the analyzer end of this thing is that there's a massive peak of carbonate coming off continually, because that's what you're actually putting down the column. You're trying to end up analyzing trace amounts of sulfate and nitrate, for instance. Now, normally speaking, that would create a major problem, because in an instrument, if you're looking at a really tiny signal and you put a massive signal into that system, then the massive signal dominates the analyzer and you really just get noise for the little signal. What we do here is we take advantage of the characteristic chemistry of carbonate. The carbonate is protonated to form carbonic acid. Carbonic acid is a weak acid. Okay, it doesn't ionize much at all. What we have in terms of a detector is something that relies on the presence of ions. So even though we're eluting using an anion, we then immediately turn everything that comes off the column into the corresponding acid. So our sulfate ends up as sulfuric acid, our nitrate ends up as nitric acid, our carbonate, which we're doing our gradient solution with, is carbonic acid. They then head off to our detector, and our conductivity detector then only senses nitrate and sulfate. Now these guys, immediately they're past that membrane ion suppressor. It's just ordinary old sulfuric acid, which means that it's existing fully ionized. Whereas in contrast, this carbonic acid, which comes out the end of the membrane suppressor, this is present basically as a covalently bound compound, and only a tiny fraction sitting there as carbonate. As a result, you get a very small signal due to carbonate, and you get the required sensitivity on the anions that you're trying to detect in your natural water sample. So that's ion chromatography.